You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
So last week we got the stimulus package from China. They announced a big stimulus package and we were still trying to quantify how big that package was. It seems it's to the tune of around 140 billion US dollars. And we thought we'd take a look at whether or not this is exactly the move that markets have needed up to this point. I'm joined on the line by Jeremy Stevens, Chief China Economist at Standard Bank, to take a look at this and try and make sense of that stimulus package. Good evening, Jeremy. Thanks so much for taking the time. $140 billion, is that enough or is China merely delaying an inevitable problem here?
I think the question of whether it's enough is a bit of a red herring. To be honest, it's not necessarily going to fundamentally address the cyclical challenges inside the Chinese economy. But really what the authorities are doing is gradually rolling out a series of monetary and fiscal stimulus support packages to support the economy as it metabolizes and restructures. And this move is kind of exactly what the doctor had ordered. It's more support financed by the central government, focused on domestic demand and boosting sentiment, plus an additional piece that will help refinance existing debt of local governments and shift that debt onto the central government balance sheet. Up until now, direct subsidies have been sort of not in fashion. They've also been reluctant to bail out local authorities. And they've also traditionally been focusing on supporting supply rather than demand. So obviously this move is better. The fact that it's coordinated is good. It shows that the regulators and the central banks are thinking very carefully and creatively. It's no surprise that markets like it. I think that the moves on Tuesday from the monetary policy side to get the financial system ready for a surge in central governments and local government special purpose bonds is smart. I also think it's wise not to have sort of flip-flopped on the real estate sector and to rather just deal with existing homes and affordable housing. I think that this is exactly what was needed at this point. But in terms of what does it mean for the economy and whether that's enough, I think that the reality is that the challenges facing the economy remain entrenched and will continue to play out. But this does mean that the outlook is slightly better than it was at the start of last week.
Jeremy, why now? Why is China suddenly concerned with addressing deflation and getting the economy back on track? Why is this happening now?
The timing is certainly quite interesting. The Politburo tends to meet three times a year to discuss the economy. That's usually April, July, and October. Every October after they've met, there's been some kind of fiscal support coming to kind of help the economy and to maintain momentum going into the first quarter of the following year. So we expected that to happen this year. The fact that it happened in September is quite interesting. The fact that the Politburo meeting focused on the economy in September also suggests there's an urgency. So does it mean that they've seen October data and Q3 data and they recognize that economic data has deteriorated again and carried on its momentum loss? Does it mean that they think that there's something in the financial system that needs to be remedied or that they need to be on the front foot of? Does it mean that there's something happening in the property sector that they need to be on the front foot or the local government? It's hard to say, but clearly the fact that they've met now where the economy is vulnerable, it's been losing momentum for a number of months. The supply side of the economy that's been driving the recovery is losing momentum. It's also worth noting that infrastructure investment went close to zero at last month. We know that exports have benefited from very favorable base effects and are actually underwater relative to 2022. We also know that the consumer side is very weak. And last year, this time, and going through the end of last year, the data was actually relatively robust. So again, they get unfavorable base effects. And so the data could have deteriorated quite considerably this month. And so they want to be on the front foot before the data drops.
Could this be seen as an admission by China that their previous policies may have been harmful towards their economy?
I don't think that this is necessarily an admission that the previous policies were harmful. They would never admit that. That's first and foremost. But what it does recognize is that the rising call for more forceful support for domestic demand has been heard. And remember, I mean, last month, consumption fell to 2.1%, which is way below the 4% that markets were expecting. So clearly, you know, consumers are struggling and they need to be doing more, especially for the low and middle income households in China who are facing, you know, a sharp deterioration in sentiment. They're struggling with incomes running lower than nominal GDP growth. They're struggling with employment. I saw last week the youth unemployment number hit 20%. So there's a lot going badly for the consumer right now. Needless to say, also the fact that real estate markets have fallen for 3 years, and that's where a vast majority of their wealth sits. So, you know, the pivot towards helping domestic demand, that's certainly welcomed. And there's a rumor that something like 800 renminbi per family for every family that has two children is being considered. So those kind of direct transfers that change people's disposable income and their spending decisions will matter. And also the fact that they're sort of working harder to convert some of the local government debt into central government debt is also smart. It's something they did last year. It's not like the first time they've done it. So it's not an accepted that what they've done in the past were harmful, but clearly it's less supply, more demand, and that's better from a structural point of view as it relates to the Chinese economy.
Off the back of this, Jeremy, we saw today that markets had their biggest day in more than 15 years. Has the spark officially been reignited?
You're right. Markets are loving this. You know, the fact that the PBOC is basically putting a floor under the stock market has really been quite a big signal to anyone and their dog that they want to be long Chinese equities. That was the biggest surprise of the press conference. Basically, they created two new facilities, a swap line so that insurers and brokers and fund managers can exchange existing stock into treasury bonds and then use those bonds and the proceeds of those bonds or the collateral on those bonds to buy more shares. So that's quite, I mean, incredible. And a second sort of facility that they created, which is that the central bank will lend to banks, and then the banks can then lend the money to firms, and those firms can use that money to embark in share buybacks. So, you know, there's a lot that's supportive for the equity markets. It's 800 billion renminbi worth so far, and they've said basically that they can expand those two programs at will or at their discretion. And so some people are saying it's, you know, 2.5 trillion renminbi worth of support for equity markets. So, you know, absolutely, from their point of view, they've ignited stock prices. You know, what's interesting is that they've tried to do this a number of occasions since 2015, and each time it's failed. So whether or not this works, you know, the jury's out. But certainly to a casual observer, it seems to be that they want the stock markets to play a role in offsetting what has been a decline in wealth of the households because of real estate. And this will be a useful offset. But whether or not that occurs is going to take many, many months to see that materialize and for, you know, sentiment to improve more on a broad base level. And whether or not that happens or not, the jury's still out.
Now, some analysts might be concerned around the timing, of course, and we looked at this a little earlier about the timing. Is this China responding to the US rate cutting cycle and trying to perhaps remain attractive to global investors at this stage?
So the fact that the Fed has cut, I think, is more a coincidence, I mean, than it is now the Fed's cut, so the PBOC's cutting. I think the PBOC were reluctant to cut. I think they were instructed to cut, and so they did so. But I don't think that they're of the view that the issue is that the economy needs cheaper credit. You know, the fact is that bank loan demand is very, very low and still running faster than deposit growth, still running faster than nominal GDP growth. And so the reality is that banks, the real problem facing the authorities and their ability to cut rates is the narrowing of the net interest margin, the difference between what they charge people to borrow money and what their cost of financing is. That's narrowed dramatically. And so every time they cut rates, they have to match that with a cut to deposit rates. And that's pushing people to stop putting their money in the banking system and to find alternative places to store their cash. And really, that's what's been occupying the minds of the regulators. And so when they cut, it's difficult for them because it squeezes bank profitability. And the PBOC have been saying that for months now, that that's the big drawback. It's not the currency, it's not the Fed, it's really the viability or the profitability of the financial sector. And so it's no surprise that they announced on Tuesday that they're going to recapitalize the banking sector and the big six banks, and give them a triple R cut as well. And I think that really this is about, you know, laying the foundation for a surge in central government bonds that will happen through the rest of the year. And so the banks need to be liquid and able to facilitate that process.
Certainly some interesting reflections from the Chinese perspective. We'll leave it at that, Jeremy. Thanks so much for the time and for the insights. Jeremy Stevens, Chief China Economist at Standard Bank.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.